Somebody woke up this morning with Jesus on their mind. Somebody got up early this morning, had Jesus on their mind. They knew that they could not make it without Jesus. They knew that life would not be worth living without Jesus. Woke up this morning knowing it was Resurrection Sunday. Jesus on the mind. But what he did for us way back on Calvary, it's a good thing to have Jesus on your mind. So many other things seem to cloud our minds up with foolishness and confusion. And sometimes you just gotta think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul cries out. The center of my being cries out. And I just thank God. Thank God for saving me. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to allow the blood to be running warm in my vein, but he did. Despite my shortcomings, he still loved me so much. That while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our midst, while we were yet doing anything we were big enough and bad enough to do, he died for us. And so we've come here this morning to celebrate. We've come here this morning to lift up the name of Jesus, to praise his holy name, and just to thank him for one more day. Giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the officers of this great church, to all of you, visitors, friends, it is good to stand before you one more time. God has allowed us to come together one more time. He is good, church. He is good. I want to call your attention this morning to the Gospel of Mark, St. Mark, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, we will read down to verse 6. Mark 16, verse 1, when you have to say amen. And God's word reads, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome and had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. For a little while this morning, I want to talk from the simple subject, three words. He is risen. Amen. He is risen. Pray with us, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for all that you've done today. We thank you, Lord, because you have been good. Lord, on this resurrection morning, Lord, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. Lord, we ask you to touch the preacher right now, Lord, that he might preach your word, that lives might be changed, that lives might be resurrected, that marriages might be resurrected by the preaching of your word. that they might know that there is a God and that he cares about his people. Lord, let your word be blessed and accomplish its purpose. And we know it will not return void. In the precious holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. He is risen. It was that Friday that the crucifixion had happened. 3 days earlier than our text, an innocent man had hung on the cross to die like a common criminal. He had done nothing worthy of death. He had went around doing good, preaching the gospel. After 3 days, it was still a difficult time for some people. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get over watching a friend die. It's hard to get over the events of Friday. But the crucifixion of Jesus had affected people in different ways. The high priest welcomed. He thought that they were getting rid of a troublemaker.
All right.
That challenged their authority. The Pharisees felt that it would now, the Pharisees thought they might be off the hook. That Jesus wouldn't be around to call out their hypocrisy.
All right.
The Roman officials thought it would be relieved. Maybe now everything would get back to normal. Mm-hmm. But for the followers of Jesus Christ, for the ones that walked with him, for the one that talked with him, for the ones that were there with him and for 3 years followed after him, they had broken hearts.
All right.
They had believed in him. They had believed, they had put their trust in him. They had put their hope in him. They had given him their hearts, their lives. Their master, their teacher now is gone. 3 years they followed. 3 years of wonder. 3 years of teaching. 3 years of miracles. They believed that he was the Son of God. But now he's gone. Now they are confused. Now the men are locked behind closed doors. And the women, the only thing left to do is for them to go and anoint the body.
Amen.
This is the least that they could do for someone that did so much for them.
Mm-hmm.
With broken hearts, the women start early in the morning, heading to the tomb. And it was Mary. And I'm not making that up. It's in the text, the first verse. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. Mary, on their way to the tomb. Maybe they sung as they were going. I just can't give up now. I've come too far from when I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. And as Mary is heading to the tomb, they're talking with one another. How are we going to roll away the stone? And I've got a few points I want to bring out this morning. I know you've heard this story, but I don't think we've got the full effect of the story of Jesus on resurrection morning.
All right.
As I look at verse 1, I want you to look at verse 1. Point number 1 is the Sabbath is past.
Yes.
In other words, the Sabbath is over. And it's more than just a day gone by. The Sabbath is over. The time you had to bring a sacrifice is over. The time you had to put blood on the altar is over. The time you had to go to the priest with their sins is over. The veil of the temple has been cut, ripped from top to bottom. The Sabbath is over. Those rituals is over. You don't have to go with the 2 turtle doves anymore. That time is over. The Sabbath is over. No more do you have to go to a man to talk to God. It's over.
That's right.
strong men. There was a time when the priest had to go to the Holy of Holies once a year. And what they would do, they would tie a rope on his leg, because nobody was to go into the Holy of Holies except the priest. And if the priest wasn't right, or nowadays, if the preacher wasn't right, yes, then in the presence of God, he'd fall down dead, and they used the rope to pull him out. That time is over. Yes. The seventh is over. The things of the seventh is over. There are some people that are still stuck on that seventh day. But they need to understand, I don't need the blood of a lamb, yes, to atone for my sins. Yes. Because I've got the blood of the lamb that has already paid the price for me. The seventh is over. It's no longer about rituals or just going through the motions. The seventh is over. It's all about a relationship now. A personal relationship. As they going to the tomb, when they get there, comes to point number two. God had already moved the stone. And the Bible says that it was great. Sometimes, my brother, my sister, we worry about things that God already is taking care of. Yes. Yes. Sometimes we can't sleep at night, but God's already made a way out of no way. Yes. I think it's Mike Locato that says he still moves stones, and I want you to know he does. Amen. He rolled the stone away, and I want you to know that he didn't roll the stone. God did not roll the stone away for Jesus to get out, but that for us to look in.
Amen.
And when you look in, you see that the grave is empty. The stone represented a heavy load.
Yes.
The stone represented a heavy burden. Every once in a while we get stones in our way. Every once in a while the great stone that we can't move ourselves. But I'm so glad that I've got a God that still moves stones. It may be sickness, but he can move it. It may be financial difficulties, but he can move it. It may be heartache and pain, but God can move those heavy stones. We serve a God that no matter what's going on in your life, he can move it out of the way.
Yes.
I've seen him do it.
Yes.
I've seen the doctor shake his head, but doctor doesn't have the last word. I know that God can move some stones, because they move some in my life. Anybody has some stones moved in their life? When the doctor says you won't make it, God says you will. When the haters say you won't, God says you will. When the doctor says there's no hope, God says you shall not die but live. God has the last word, and he can still move stones. As they go on and as they look and they see the sepulcher and the stone is rolled away, there's an angel that tells them to fear not. And that's my third point. What is it that we are afraid of? What is it that gets us afraid? I mean, there's so many phobias in this world. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of snakes. Some people are afraid of little bugs. Why are we so afraid? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Some people are afraid of they might lose their job, but I've got a God that can open up a door that you ain't even seen yet. Some people are afraid that they're not going to be able to make ends meet, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. What is it that you got to fear? When we've got a God that can conquer death, what is it that you've got to fear? He's got the power to give you everything that you need. What is there to fear?
Jesus.
We have a Savior that death couldn't kill, that death couldn't destroy, who got up with all power in his hand.
Amen.
So what is to fear? The doctor doesn't have the last word. There is nothing to fear.
Jesus.
And then the angel does something else. After he says, fear not, he gives the word that should get you excited early this morning. He gives three words that I think we've lost the power of these three words. He gives us three words. He said, he is risen. He is risen. You know what that means?
Yes.
That he done what he said he would do.
Yes.
That his promises are true.
Yes.
And if he has risen, then he is with us now.
Amen.
He is risen. It's present tense. That he is with us even now.
Yes.
He is risen. They went there expecting to find a dead body. They went there expecting to see a dead Jesus. But they found a risen Savior.
Mm-hmm.
What have you come to see this morning? You know, sometimes we feel like God is missing in our lives. Sometimes we go through stretches when dry spells, when we think that Jesus is missing. The disciples thought somebody had stolen the body. But I want you to know today, my brothers, my sisters, Jesus is not missing. God is not missing. Sometimes we think that God is missing, but we're looking in the wrong place. He's not dead.
All right, all right.
Why are you looking for the living among the dead?
Yes, yes.
You see, he is not missing. God is not missing.
All right.
Just because things happen to you don't mean that God is not around and in it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we come to church and we act like Jesus is still dead. Sometimes we come to church and look like we've been sucking on lemon all day long. We act like we have no hope. We act like we can't even come to church excited. We can't come to church. We leave churches because we think it's a dead church. And we go from church to church. We don't want to hear the choir sing because we think we got a dead choir. And sometimes we come to dead church and we got a dead choir and the word comes forth and we think we got a dead preacher. But I want you to know that God is not missing. Sometimes when it seems like the church is dead, sometimes when it seems like the choir is dead, sometimes when it feels like the preacher is dead. But if you are one of those people that feel like everything around you is dead, it may not be the church. It may not be the choir. It may not even be the preacher. You may be dead in your soul because my Jesus lives. He lives. He lives. But do you understand the implications of that? He is not dead. What do we got to fear? We have a risen Savior. The angel says, fear not.
Yes.
He is not dead. God is not dead. God is not missing. He's right where he needs to be. And here is the power of it all. You see, it ain't the dying that makes the difference. It's not that he died. You see, anybody can die.
Yes.
People take pills all the time. People jump from buildings all the time. It's not a spectacular thing to die. Buddha died. Muhammad died. It ain't the dying that makes the difference. It's the getting up. And I got a God that got up early in the morning. Anybody can lay down on Sunday morning, but sometimes you just gotta get Christ in you, you will get up early in the morning. It makes a difference. Friday, the devil and the demons were celebrating on Friday. And the devil called the grave and said, "Grave, you got him." The grave said, "Yeah, I got him." And the devil was talking to his friend, the grave, and said, I don't want what happened to Lazarus to happen to Jesus. And the grave said, that was a clerical mistake. We had the wrong date down for his death. He had to die again, but I don't see anywhere else where Jesus is going to die. We got him. Saturday morning, they were still partying. The demons were partying. Devil called him just to make sure. He said he was going to rise on the third day. The grave said, I still got him. I got a grip on him. I've been working out. I got him. But early Sunday morning, the devil's phone rung. And the devil answers, well, what's going on? The grave said, I don't know what happened, but I couldn't hold him. He got up. I couldn't hold him. Early in the morning, the devil's phone rung. And then he got another call. He said, hold on, grave. I've got another call. It's death. And the devil said, he's talking on the phone, there came a knock on hell's gates. The devil said, hold on, death, hold on the grave, somebody go see who's at the door. As they knocked at the door, the demon said, who is it? And they said, oh, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And one of the demons said, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, he is the King of glory.
Yes.
And he went in and took the keys of death. All that we might have the right to the tree of life. He is risen. He is risen. That means he's with you right now. Right now. When you woke up this morning, Jesus was there.
Yes.
As you came to church this morning, he is still there.
Yes.
He said he will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yes, Lord.
He is risen. He is risen. And if nothing else should get you excited, if nothing else should get you on your feet, if nothing else should get you praising the Lord, these three words, three simple words that just say he is risen. But now, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't know where God is. We think he's missing. But he's all around us. He's with us all the time. And sometimes we're just looking in the wrong place for an almighty God. He's there. I know sometimes you have heartaches, but he's working it out even there. Even in sickness, he's right there. He's right there. Even when you got financial burdens on you. And I know these are hard times. But you haven't missed a meal. I know gas is expensive, but you've been able to make it here and there. Because he is risen. And he is still with you. Don't get stuck on the seventh. The seventh is over. It is ended. Now there is a new day.
Amen.
The dawning of a new day. A bright sunshine, a new day. And Jesus is alive. Fear not, church. There's nothing to fear. Because we have a Savior that has not only conquered death, but has risen with all power. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Just like he said he would do. He is risen. Most powerful words has ever been spoken is that he is risen. Because it means that everything he said he would do, he will do. and he will be with you always, even until the end of the year. And he will walk with you, and he will talk with you, and he will bring you all the way to heaven. So no matter what happens this week, keep in mind that he is risen. Door to church is open. There may be one today that has not accepted the risen Savior. Today can be the day that you give your heart to Jesus. He's alive, church. He's alive.
Amen.
He's not dead. He's alive. And the tomb was left open that we might see that he's not there, that he is risen. Oh, what a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. Don't live in Friday.
Yes.
Don't continue to live on the seventh day. Live today, because he is risen. You may come, you may join this church by letter, by Christian Spears, or by being baptized. You can let today be the day that you give your heart to Jesus. You may come as the choir shall sing. He is risen. He is risen. God bless you.